has done. With his blood he has saved me. With his power he has raised me. To God be the glory for the things he has done. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise that we can gather today to worship you. We pray now that you would meet with us. We pray that you would have your way in each heart. May each one here be ready to welcome you with open arms as you welcome us. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. I invite you to stand with me now and take your hymnals as we turn to number 128. 128, He Leadeth Me. Let's unite our hearts and voices in the Apostles' Creed, this historic confession of our Christian faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Be seated. As we prepare to go to prayer this morning, are there joys and concerns that you would like to share with the family of God? Unspoken. How many by the uplifted hand would indicate unspoken request? Yes. Okay. Larry? Great, thank you. Oh my, okay. A lot of people still getting infected from COVID, do remember them. Do use common sense, whatever that may involve for you when it comes to the COVID. Great. Great. Of course, that'll be a little bit rougher on mom and dad, but... Absolutely. Well, she might have made it through one winter there. You know, my dad was from central Vermont, and I was just from 20 miles below the Vermont line, so yes, different world, but... Congratulations. All it means is you'll have to get her a little bigger laundry bag to haul in when she comes. So, great. Okay. Many of you have asked about Catherine. She had surgery on her foot Friday. She commented yesterday that she was in less pain than she was the day before the surgery. So I guess that's a good sign. But do keep her in your prayers. We've had to buy some ways and means to help her get around the house on one foot. And that's not always easy, but she's doing very well with it, and she does appreciate all of your concerns and prayers. Is that the same one we prayed for before? Okay, we need to keep praying for that horse. What's his name?
Dusty.
Dusty. Okay. Keep praying for Dusty. God is concerned about our horses and our cats and our dogs and our guinea pigs and whatever else you may have. Yes. Our prayer course this morning is number 405 in your hymnal, also on the screen here. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. First the kingdom of God and shall be opened unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. Our Heavenly Father, you have promised us that all we need to do is ask and seek and knock. And here we are, Lord. We're glad that your word promises that we can cast all of our cares upon you because you do care for us. We pray this morning that you be with each one here and the burdens that they're carrying. We pray, Lord, that you be with those who are still suffering from COVID. We pray that you'd lay your healing hand upon them, be with their families and their loved ones, Lord. Be with the doctors and nurses and EMTs who are working so diligently to try to ease the pain and the sorrow during this very difficult time. We pray, Lord, that you'd be with all of our folks here who are facing issues, whether it's physical or emotional or financial or work-related or whatever it may be. We just pray, Lord, that they might feel your presence, that in the midst of their storm they might feel your peace. We pray today, Lord, that you'd be with all of our law enforcement officials. Lord, help us that we might be a part of the group to defend the police, not to defund them. It's a shame that we need law enforcement in this day and age, but it's becoming more and more apparent that all we like sheep have gone astray. And Lord, we need those to help us get back onto the path. We pray that you'd be with all of our fire personnel. We pray that again that you'd be with the doctors and with the nurses. We pray today, Lord, for our military, wherever they may be. We pray that you would lift them up, Lord, and may they feel your presence and peace. Be with their families during this time of separation. We pray that you'd be with those missionaries in Haiti who have been kidnapped. We pray, Lord, that you would comfort and strengthen their hearts. We pray, Lord, that you'd be with the kidnappers. They need a good old-fashioned dose of God's presence and God's power in their lives. It's hard to believe, Lord, that a person could love you and love themselves and do so many of the things that are going on in our world. We pray, Lord, that you'd be with this nation during the drug problem. Thousands of people dying from overdoses. Tons of drugs coming into our country. Help us, Lord, that we might look for a natural high from you. Thank you, Lord, that we don't have to drown our sorrows in a bottle. We don't have to zone out with medication. We can turn to you. And we will discover that life is worth the living just because he lives. Thank you, Lord. We pray now that you meet with us in these few moments we have together. Prepare us for this brand new week, that we might expect you to do great and wonderful and exciting things in us and through us. We ask it in the wonderful name of Jesus, who taught us all to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. May I again remind you that the offering receptacles are at the back door and the side door. We appreciate your faithfulness in giving. What number?
479.
Thank you. And tenderly Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home, come home, ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home. Why should we tarry when Jesus is pleading, pleading for you and for me? Why should we linger and heed not his mercies, mercies for you and for me? Come home, come home. Weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home. Oh, for the wonderful love he has promised, promised for you and for me. Though we have sinned, he has mercy and pardon, pardon for you and for me. Join with us. Come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home. Shall we stand?
God, from whom all blessings flow, praise him, all creatures here below, praise him above the heavenly host, praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
You may be seated. Our scripture this morning, the part that we're going to read at this point, is from Luke 15, 1 through the first part of verse 3, and then 13 through 16. Tax collectors and other notorious sinners, that's in the book, folks. That's no commentary on the stuff that's going on right now. Tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus teach. This made the Pharisees and the teachers of religious law complain that he was associating with such sinful people, even eating with them. So Jesus told them this story. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, I want my share of your estate now, instead of waiting until you die. So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. A few days later, this younger son packed all of his belongings and took a trip to a distant land. And there he wasted all his money on wild living. About the time his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land, and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him to feed his pigs. The boy became so hungry that even the pods that he was feeding the pigs looked good to him, but no one gave him anything. Verse 17, when he finally came to his senses. Dwight L. Moody often told a story of how in the highlands of Scotland, the grass is very sweet and very green. And very often the grazing sheep would find themselves getting into places that they could not get out of. They might jump down 10 or 12 feet onto a ledge where there was some really nice looking grass. Then they discovered that they couldn't get back up again. The shepherd would hear the sheep bleating in distress, but he would leave them there, sometimes for days, until they'd eaten all of the grass. The shepherd would wait until the sheep was so faint it could just barely stand. Then, and only then, he would reach down and fasten a rope around the sheep and pull it out. The reason that the shepherd didn't go running to the sheep right away was because sheep spook easily. And had he jumped down there, the sheep might have panicked and took off and gone over the edge of the cliff. Moody concluded his story by saying, "This is how people very often are. They won't come back to God until they have lost everything." You've heard the expression, they have to hit bottom. Okay, sometimes they have to hit bottom and do a little more digging before they're ready to turn around. It's very true that you cannot help someone who does not want to be helped. This is where the prodigal son finally found himself. For a good Jewish boy to have a job feeding pigs was about as low as you can get. Now, as you know, good Jewish boys don't even eat bacon. Don't have anything to do with the pig. No bacon, no ham, no pork chops, no chicharrones, pork rinds, and none of that stuff. Then to have to feed the pigs was adding insult to injury. Well, here he was. What we need to realize is that there is an insanity about sin. We see it in the papers and the news almost every day. Tell me, how could anyone in their right mind abuse a child or a senior adult or an animal? Is there any normalcy about shooting or stabbing a family member or friend or a complete stranger or a police officer or co-workers? How could a person willingly and knowingly destroy their mind and body with alcohol and drugs? Is there a rational explanation for somebody strapping explosives to their body or rigging up bombs at the roadside with no regard whatsoever to who gets maimed or killed? Why would anybody in their right mind want their son or daughter to become president of the United States? Used to be, that was the thing. Oh yeah, I want them to be president. I wouldn't do that. And nothing, not just current events, Lord, folks. The last 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years. I couldn't figure out why anybody would want that for their children. Listen to what the scripture says when we talk about the insanity of sin. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, "At home, even the hired men have food enough to spare. And here I am dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and say, 'Father, I've sinned against both heaven and you, and I'm no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired man. So he returned home to his father, and while he was still a long distance away, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son. Now, in Jewish society, men, especially older men, now none of us here have gotten there yet, but especially older men did their best to maintain their dignity. Often they appeared aloof from everyone else. Not this dad. It says he ran to his son. Now, take just a moment. Look around this room here. Pick out any man in the group and picture him in a robe and sandals running down the street. It's probably not a pretty sight. But this father wasn't worried about appearances. His son was coming home and nothing else mattered. This was love in action. The father had watched and waited. He was dealing with a human being with self-will. But he was ready to greet his son if he returned. God's love is patient. God will search for us and give us opportunities to respond. But God will not force us to come. Revelation 3:20, we're reminded. Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone will hear me and will open the door, I will come in. Now, Jesus could go Rambo and kick the door in, no trouble at all. But that isn't how he works. If we don't open the door, he can't come in. He respects our self-will. God is omnipotent. He's all-powerful. But his power ends at our heart's door. He won't force us to accept him. I've had a lot of people say, oh, I don't believe for a minute that a loving God would allow anyone to go to hell. Well, I'm inclined to agree with you. But I do believe that God will not go against our wishes, our self-will, our self-determination. I believe in terms of this story, and I'm extrapolating something out of this that isn't really in the scripture, but think with me. This son who had gone on to a far-off country, who was in the pig pens feeding the pigs. Suppose he had died in the pig pen. The scriptures tell us the father stood there waiting and watching for the son to indicate that he was coming back home again. And then he ran to him with open arms. I don't believe, in terms of what this story doesn't say, but I don't believe that if the son had died in the pig pen, that the father would have gone after him and dragged his body back into the home. He was waiting for the son to turn around and to come back himself. Look what happened. God's waiting patiently for us to come to our senses. Look what happened in this story. Look how he responded. It says, he embraced and kissed him. His son said, Father, I've sinned against both heaven and you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Look at the change in the son's attitude here. This is a son who just not too long before that said, listen, I don't want to wait around for you to die. I want my share of the estate right now. The father gave it to him. He left. Now he's saying, I'm not even worthy to be called your son. Just take me on as a hired hand. That'll be fine with me. That's more than I deserve. What a difference in attitude. But The father said to the servants, "Quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet." What does that mean? Well, a robe is a symbol of honor. He wasn't just saying, "Okay, I'll let you come back, but you're on probation and you get out of line one time and you're out of here." No. He said, "He's back. Put a robe on him, symbol of honor. Put a ring on his finger." The ring was a symbol of authority. It's sort of like today we have the power of attorney, where we have the ability to make decisions regarding something that belongs to somebody else. The ring was often used as a seal on a document. Father said, "Put that ring on his finger. And sandals for his feet." The shoes, the sandals, were a sign of sonship. You see, slaves and servants were barefoot. Sons wore shoes. We're all familiar with that old spiritual that says, "I got shoes, you got shoes, all God's children got shoes. When I get to heaven, going to put on my shoes and going to walk all over God's heaven." The son was fully restored in the family relationship. And the father didn't stop there. He told the servants, "Kill the calf we've had in the fattening pen. We must celebrate with a feast. For this son of mine was dead and now has returned to life. He was lost and now he's found." So the party began. And they all lived happily ever after. Well, not quite. The story goes on. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, meanwhile, the older son was in the fields working. When he returned home, he heard the music and the dancing in the house, and he went and asked one of the servants what was going on. "Your brother is back," he was told, "and your father has killed the calf we've been fattening in the pen and has prepared a great feast. We are celebrating because of his safe return." The older brother was angry and wouldn't go in. Beyond the love and forgiveness of the father, we need to see that this is about two sinners. One who was penitent and one who was proud. The scripture tells us the father came out and begged him, but he replied, "All of these years I've worked hard for you and never once refused to do a single thing you told me to do. And in all that time, you refused to give me even one young goat for a feast with my friends." The older brother was more interested in what he could get from the father than he was in being with the father. How about us? Are we in God's fields as servants, but not in God's fellowship as sons and daughters? The older brother says, "Yet when this son of yours comes back after squandering your money on prostitutes." As many times as I've read that scripture, I don't see anything about who or how he spent the money. It says he spent it on wild living. Well, that might be going to Pizza Hut and eating the whole pizza yourself. To me, that sounds kind of wild now. But we don't know how he spent it. But here the older brother had everything all figured out. He must have spent a whole lot of time thinking what his younger brother must be doing in that far-off country. And he was probably envious that he wasn't there too. His body was back at home, but his mind and his heart were out there somewhere. He says, "You celebrate by killing the finest calf we have." His father said, "Look, dear son, you and I are very close, and everything I have is yours. We had to celebrate this happy day. for your brother was dead and has come back to life. He was lost, but now he's found. Look at the story of Jesus and understand why it doesn't end with the younger son returning home. You know, that'd be a good place to end it. They're having a big celebration and everything is great and wonderful and they all lived happily ever after. But you see, Jesus was telling this story to a certain part of the audience. He was talking to the religious leaders who were so self-righteous and judged everyone else. Jesus was telling the good church folk of his day that they needed to respond to the Father's unconditional love and grace. He was letting them know that the invitation is now open to the scribes and Pharisees too. There's something we probably need to get straight. And it's not just Rockwood United Methodist Church, it's the whole world. Sitting in church no more makes us Christians than standing in the garage makes us an automobile. Might be kind of a weird simile there, but it's very true. Are you a Christian? Well, I go to church every Sunday. And I don't know. We have an invitation and God is still waiting for many of us to accept it. The Bible is full of the imagery of parties. But contrary to what a lot of people, including the Unitarian Universalist, would tell us, it's possible to miss the party. The father said the younger son was dead. Now, outside of God's loving grace, there's no resurrection. He was dead, but now he's alive. He was lost, but now he's found. But the older son, even though he never left home, he missed the party. Even though he was in church every single Sunday at home while his brother was off somewhere, he still missed the party. In verse 26, we see that it would have been the older son's responsibility to co-host the party. Instead, he demanded an explanation from the servant. His mind was already made up. Now, aren't we glad that church people aren't that way? I had a situation in one of my churches long ago and far away. A dear lady in that church, she was probably well into the second half of life. She decided that she was going to leave there and move about 100 miles away to live with her daughter. Well, this woman had taught the kindergarten class for a couple of years. Usually she'd give them a sheet to color and just stand there and make sure they didn't talk or move around or laugh or anything like that. She had 2, 3, 4 kids in the room each Sunday. She said, I'm leaving. You're going to have to get somebody else to take that class. We had a young couple whom I'd just married. I approached the woman and asked her if she would be willing to take the kindergarten class. She said, oh, I'd love that. That would be wonderful. She did. Within a year to a year and a half, she was running 20 to 25 children in that kindergarten class. And they were singing Bible songs and they were learning scriptures and they were doing all of these things. Well, then one Sunday, guess who came walking back in the door? She said, I am back and I want my class back. Said, I'm sorry. You gave up that class, and now someone else has it, and I can't change that. Well, that's a problem. All these new people are coming in here and taking the jobs away from all of us older folk. I said, well, I said, first of all, these new people are members. And second of all, they're not taking all the jobs. In fact, there are a whole bunch of jobs that are still available. Which one would you want other than that class? If I can't have my class, I don't want any of them. Bless her heart. Oh, it does happen, doesn't it? And that's a shame. The older son came out of the field and refused to go into the celebration. He became a prodigal at that point. One son ran away from home and the other son refused to go home. Outside the house is outside the house, regardless of how one gets there. The older brother missed the party. We won't try to draw that out any further than that. But in verse 28, it says he was angry. He refused, which was an insult to the father. And the father pleaded with him. That was love in action. Verse 28, we see how the older son addressed the father. He said, look, you. Listen, you. Your son did these things. Not my brother, your son. We see one son doing a 180-degree turn in attitude and the other son seemingly making the same switch in the wrong direction. Mark Twain one time said, having spent a lot of time with good people, I can understand why Jesus preferred to be with tax collectors and sinners. This son of yours, the father responded, my son, you're always with me. Everything is yours. The older brother was so angry that he missed out on all the fun. He wasn't shut out of the banquet in the banquet hall. He shut himself out. They didn't lock the door from the inside. He slammed it from the outside. I'm sure that at the table inside, there was a place just for him. I'm sure they probably had a plate full of food sitting there just for him. I'm sure there's even a big slice of cake waiting just for him. If only he had the sense and the heart to go in. Two final things I want us to notice this morning. First of all, the high privilege that you and I have as children of God. We have fellowship with the Father. He said, son, daughter, you're always with me. God is always near us. Every moment of our lives, we can be in God's presence. In Genesis 5 and Genesis 6, we see that Enoch and Noah walked with God. God told Jacob, I am with you. He told Moses, I will personally go with you. God's presence with the Israelites distinguished them from all of the other nations. Jesus promised the presence of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit would always be with us. Every single moment of our lives, we should rejoice in the fellowship that we have with God. Then there were unlimited blessings also. He told the Son, everything I have is yours. Jesus said, if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? John 1:16, we have all benefited from the rich blessings he brought to us, one gracious blessing after another. Ephesians 1:3, how we praise God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we belong to Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:4, I can never stop thanking God for all the generous gifts he has given you now that you belong to Christ Jesus. As God's children, we have fellowship with God and unlimited blessings. But then notice also, not only the high experience, the high privilege that we have, but notice our low experience. Though both the fellowship and blessings of the Father were available, the older son had neither of them because he had served his father for these many years. Yet he complained that his father had never given him even a small goat, while the prodigal son received the fatted calf. His father gave him everything, and yet he never enjoyed it. Of course, you probably don't know anybody like that. Many of us need to confess that though we're God's children, we do not allow God to fill our hearts and lives with God's presence and God's blessing. God's response to you and me is still the same. Son, daughter, everything that I have is yours. I will always be with you. We're going to have the great celebration. RSVP. That's répondez, s'il vous plaît. Are you impressed? That's French for please respond. Okay? God is giving us an invitation. If we don't accept it, we don't get it. If we do RSVP to God's invitation, we have it. God cannot forgive if we don't respond. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that we have the opportunity to spend every moment of our lives with you. Remind us that we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ of all of the blessings of heaven. Remind us that here on this earth, as crazy as things may be, that your grace is sufficient for us and your strength is made perfect in our weakness. Remind us, Lord, that our eyes haven't seen and our ears haven't heard, and it has not entered into our hearts the things that you have prepared for those who love you. Help us, Lord, that we might respond to your invitation, that we might live every moment of every day in your presence, and we'll give you all of the praise. For it's in Jesus' wonderful name we ask it. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is number 338 in your hymnal. Number 338. Where he leads me, I will follow. Shall we stand?
Savior calling, I can hear my Savior calling, I can hear my Savior calling, take thy cross and follow me, where he leads me I will follow. With him all the way, where he lives.
Now may God's love and grace go with you as you go out into this world. May it fill you to overflowing so that everybody you meet will get a little bit of a taste of how wonderful God's love and grace really is. Go now in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.